This key right here, not that card. This key, is this yours? Is this key yours? It's to a Dodge, Melissa Mayberry says. I don't know. I'm going to take her word for that. So, is it on? Test.
Hello.
All right, so I've got a key to a car. When you go to the parking lot to get in your vehicle and you can't start it because you don't have your key, I've got it. Come find me. But you got to do it before I leave, because if I leave, I'm taking your key with me and you're stuck here until the evening service tonight. So with that, hey, real quick, we're having a baptism this morning. Come on, we're having a baptism this morning. It's been a while, yeah! Hey, so last week, Zach prayed to receive Christ. Brother Ben did all of the official stuff that needed to be done. They prayed. It was awesome. He's here this morning to be baptized. So real quick, we're going to make it official. He's going to be baptized this morning. He's good. So what's the will of the body? Amen. Amen. So he's in. That's awesome. Yeah. You guys are nowhere near as excited about a baptism this morning as I am. All right, hey, that's great. I'm glad that we're able to be here to do that together this morning. If you're a first-time guest, maybe you're here for the baptism, maybe you just happened to stumble upon our church. You just drove down the road, and you're like, hey, I'm looking for a church, and you got out in the parking lot, and you're here. Would you fill out one of these cards, or you can text the word welcome to the number that's up on the screen. This gets us the ability to be able to talk to you. It starts a conversation. We're going to send you some text messages, maybe an email or two. It allows you the ability to talk with us. We're going to give you some insights about Bethel, what we're doing, what's going on. You know, every week I try to highlight something, like tell you about Celebrate Recovery or Sunday School. And one of the things that I always forget about is our Wednesday night program. We do Awana on Wednesday nights for the kids. And we've got somewhere like 100-120 kids coming to Awana on Wednesday night. That is incredible. That is such a ministry to our community. These kids come. The parents come. We have a radio hour Bible study show. It's really a fun time. So if you're not doing that or you're not plugged into that, I would encourage you. Wednesday nights are an awesome time. The Awana program is amazing. It gets the word of God into those kids' hearts, and it's a great program. So I would encourage you to do that. And lastly, if you participate in social media, I'm asking. You don't have to, but I'm asking. Just let folks know where you're at today, what you're doing, and maybe it'll open a door to have a conversation this week so that you can invite somebody to church next week. Maybe they're on the fence about where they're going or they don't go to church. It's a great way for you to be able to have a conversation about that and talk to them. So check in on Facebook, social media, whatever you do, and I think that's it. All right, let's stand. I just want to walk over to this spot. I don't think I've ever stood on this spot on this stage. It's important. So in Sunday school class this morning, we're talking about changing our thinking. And my prayer was that God would just change the way that we think. He would just change the way that we think. Not for our benefit, but for his benefit. And so as we come to the Lord right now, that's what I want you to just kind of hone in and think about how God could change your thinking throughout this week to more glorify him in your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you right now. I just thank you so much for the gift that you gave us in Christ. Lord, we are quickly approaching Resurrection Day. God, it's the hope, the new life that we have in Christ. I'm so thankful for that, the gift that you've given us. God, we have a picture of that resurrection, that new life this morning in our baptism, and we're so thankful as a body of believers that you're still calling. There's still hope for a dark world, and I'm so thankful for that. Just ask this morning, God, that you would help us to put away and put off the things that we have so focused and clouding our minds. Help us to think about you. Help us to think about your work, the ministry that you have for us, what you've got for us to do for your church this week. I just ask that you would help us this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Meet and greet everyone.
Of heaven and of earth, no one can come.
To find your seats, we're going to have that baptism right now.
We're not going to belabor the point. It's great to see everybody here today. Brother Zach came to us, actually came to CR a couple weeks ago. And then last Sunday, yeah, give the Lord a hand. That's awesome. And so it's one of those deals that we'll have to take some time later and share the whole testimony. But we're thrilled that we're here right now. So God forbid, Zach, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven?
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. He's a happy guy. On that profession of faith and on the authority invested in me by Bethel Baptist Church, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But he's probably the tallest I've baptized so far. You guys gotta trust. You gotta trust. Now, so you won't be surprised when that's not here in a few weeks, right? Now, all the first service people that have tried to kill me. And if I die in the baptismal pool, I can't think of a better way to
do it. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Let's worship. Thanks,
brother. Join us this morning as we sing Glorious Day.
Loved me.
For this love, Lord, thank you for In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Christ I live. There in the ground, his body there, light of the world by darkness slain, dim bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he said, story. Since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. I'm glad I came to church. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. We have a phrase that we like to share here at Bethel, and that is that we're in our living room, and that means that you can't tell what I'm fixing to say. My daughter went to Little Rock to spend some time with the folks and the such. She's got a real good friend that she's going to spend some time with this week. But she sang a special at Grandma's church, and she sent this to me unsolicited. Bethel is such a nice church to sing a special at. And so my response was, did they just stare at you? Because sometimes they have it. And again, folks, every church has to do what they feel led to do. Amen?
Right.
Amen. They're not wrong for doing that. They're not wrong. It's tough. But they're not wrong necessarily. With that said, 20 years ago, I came to you and I said, if we're going to be a clapping church, we're going to be a clapping church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And can I tell you, first service, not so much, but they do it. They do it. See, what's I tell you? This is our living room. This is a second service living room. But watch this.
what I wanted to make sure never happens is this. Because that happens too often. And folks, if one of you start clapping, we need to support them. Amen?
Amen.
You're never going to hear that in heaven. When one guy starts it, we're all going to have a runaway. I believe that. And our lady, whatever the case. You know, we used to have shouting Baptist. There's a lot of grandmas that were called shouting Baptist. Because when they just had enough, they had to let her go. That's right. Now, I will tell you that it's not really good for your health to be sitting in front of Brad when he lets go. Be like that thing falling on your head, you know.
Am I okay?
Listen to me, church. We said goodbye to a staunch, faithful Christian and member this week. And one of the things that I said about John Moore at his funeral... Have you been around people that you thought were perfect? It's not very comforting. Now, they're not. You have to know that. Even if they think they are, they're not. Nobody's perfect except Christ. John had a time, and I told this at the funeral home or funeral service, and Jack was there also. Jack and John had a very human moment one day at camp. They had a disagreement. And do you know what John did? He acted like a little five-year-old, and he got in his truck, and he spun out, and he left. And Jack just standing there, what do I do now? I don't know. You made him mad, you know, type thing. Watch this. So the next Sunday, I said, John, or Jack, everything okay? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. John called me. He apologized. I apologized. We're all good. Now, let me tell you why that was so important. There was a day that if John or Jack or Ken didn't show up, nothing got done at camp. Not that Brad wasn't killing himself, he was. But they had the money. And they had the connections and they knew people. Me and Brad were the servants. We, you know, point and we do. But they knew stuff. Watch this, church. Nobody in this building is perfect. But there was a perfect man that crawled up on a cross some 2,000 years ago, and he took care of our problem. Amen, church? That's why we shout. That's why we clap. That's why we praise the Lord. And John is now forever with that person in heaven. And you and I that are saved, we're going to join him someday. We are. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Well, it's all been taken care of. It's nothing to be afraid of. We're ready. If there's someone here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're going to have an invitation here in just a few minutes and give you that opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for a full house. I ask you, Lord, to do your will and way in this service. Every Sunday, we ask you to help us to be that transformational church you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, when we meet those people within our sphere of influence, that they will know that we've spent time with you. I pray for our cancer sick, Daniel Avetta, Amy Banderman, Millie Barnes, Karen Fleer, Cheryl Powers, Lynn Prince, Robert Rapolt, that you would heal them completely, totally, and wholly this moment, this hour, this day, this week, this month, this year, in accordance to your will. We pray for those that you've called out from our midst and sent them to other countries, other cities, other states. We pray for the Martins, the Lowers, the Nances, the Henthorns, the Domkeys, the Murphys, the Havrilkas, that you would strengthen them in their place of worship, their place of living, that you would use them as a lighthouse for your gospel in their community. And Father, I pray that you'll use us as lighthouses in our neighborhoods for your gospel. I pray that you'll bless this offering. We lay it at your feet. We know you have, since 1899, you've taken care of our financial needs. And we praise you for that. We thank you, and we ask you again to meet our needs through this offering. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what your eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe and you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine, yeah. When that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you, I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
John chapter 19. John 19. Well, I'm curious, how many of you have gotten to see the movie yet? All right, most of you. We're still not going to spoil it. If you get a chance, go see it. In my humble opinion, this is a movie better seen in the theater than on the TV. It is very good. With that said, I'm not opposed to a person waiting until it comes out on DVD. I do that all the time. I just believe you'll enjoy it the quicker, the better. And I shared with the first service, I have admitted to you guys one of my faults. I'm a movie goer. I try not to go to the movies that I believe are going to be a detriment to my faith and things of that nature. But the movies that I feel like that are appropriate, I like to go to them. With that said, right now, praise God, we're living at a time that they are producing Christian movies right and left.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. So I believe it is imperative, as I said last week, for us to go when we can. I struggle, though, when a secular movie comes out on the same date as a Christian movie. Because I want to go to the secular one first. I do. I'm human. Okay? I wish I had a good spiritual reason for being that way. I don't. I really believe it's probably something I need to overcome. Okay? So last weekend, I can only imagine, or a secular movie came out that I wanted to see. So I went. I think this was honestly the first time I chose the Christian movie over the secular movie. And I believe God honored that. I do. With the experience, and I shared all that last week that I had with the movie, it was amazing. This Friday, same thing. The Apostle Paul came out, and a movie I wanted to see. I went to the secular one first. I just thought, you know, just even it out. I'm going to go see the Apostle Paul. I think you should go see it if the Lord provides and such of that nature. It looks like a really good movie. Jim Caviezel, the guy that played Christ in The Passion of Christ. And watch this. Folks, I'm not getting anything for this movie review. I'm not getting anything. No kickbacks, nothing. I'm just telling you that I believe that Hollywood is finally putting out some really good movies. I believe it'll encourage you. I do. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And can I tell you that in this day and age, we need all the encouragement we can get. We really do. So, with that said, today we are preparing for next Sunday. We are. Sunday's coming. Friday is here, if you will, but Sunday's coming. One of the greatest preachers of our day preached a message along those lines that can you imagine what the disciples went through seeing with their own eyes their beloved Savior and Master dying on the cross for their sins? It was Friday. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Now, you and I have the absolute blessing and advantage. Every day should be Sunday for us. Every day should be Easter for us. Every day should be celebration of the resurrection of Christ for us. Amen?
Amen.
We don't just live a, hopefully, victorious Christian life on Easter each year. Hopefully we live a victorious Christian, or we can, every day of the week because of Easter. But I think it is appropriate one day a year to set it aside and say, okay, we're just going to, if you will, we're going to blow it out. We're going to just really, really honor and celebrate our risen Lord. I think that's as appropriate as it can be. And that's what we're going to do next Sunday. In the know, you have our services. What is in the know? It is our bulletin. And it's back there, and we've got enough copies for everybody. At 8 o'clock in the morning next Sunday, we will have first service. Breakfast will start at 8:30. For those of you that want to come to second service, I would encourage you to come at 8:30 and eat breakfast, and then come to Don't worry about it. We'll just use this. I'm going to stand right here today. And if I don't, I'll scream, okay? So, with that said, second service at 9. Breakfast will be served till about 9:30. So for you Sunday school people, which we hope all of you will be, you'll come between 9 and 9:30 and eat breakfast type thing. And then you go to Sunday school at 10. And then at 11 o'clock is our third service. Just pick one. Pick one. Now, this is our hope. This is our hope. We are effectively handling anywhere from 79 to 100 in our first service, which right now is at 820. And we are effectively handling anywhere from 160 to 225 in our second service, which happens at 1045. You know that a lot of people like to go to church on Easter. Praise God. We want to make room for them. You also know that you have some people that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart to invite them to church. We're making room for them. So invite your friends, neighbors, and relatives, and whichever event that they can come with them type thing. I think it'd be appropriate to take them to breakfast. I think it'd be appropriate to take them to Sunday school. We're going to be prepared. We're asking you to help us. Let's make this a great Easter. Before we get to John chapter 19, I've got some other verses I want to share with you. The title of this message is simply, Have You Seen It to Believe It? Now, you understand, and the folks that are first-time visitors with us, you need to know, you probably have already guessed this from my accent, I'm not from around here. I'm from Arkansas. And so it was kind of a new experience. I'd heard it all my life. Missouri was the show-me state. But I didn't know what that meant till I got up here. Now, you guys are so proud of that, and I'm thrilled for you. I really am. All it means is you're stubborn. That really all it means. Stubborn. Now, I've been here 28 years, so guess what I am? Stubborn. You have to show me type thing. And that's good, church. Listen to me. It's good to not necessarily believe it until you see it, especially if it's something so outlandish is that you can go to heaven based on what somebody else has done. That's outlandish. All right, I'm going to work my way. No, you're not. Well, I believe when I get there, God's going to weigh my good against my bad. You ain't going to like that outcome either. We need help. We need help. And Jesus did it. He didn't just live. He didn't just die. He rose from the dead. And then he gave that free life to anyone and everyone that will receive it. Now watch this. But still, seeing is believing. Have you seen it to believe it? We no longer have the advantage of being able to see it with this eye. Now we have to see it with our mind's eye, and if you will, with the eye of faith. I can take you to a verse that Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are those who do not see, yet still believe. And that's you and I. We can't see it with this eye anymore. We're not going to physically see. Oh, we can watch a movie, and I encourage you to. This week, you need to rent The Passion of the Christ. Some of you have it in your house. You need to watch it, preparing yourself for the resurrection celebration. We need to see it. Your height of elation and celebration of Easter is limited by your understanding and grasp of what happened on the cross. The song, I Can Only Imagine, which of course is about heaven, should however be applied to the cross. I can only imagine the pain and suffering that Jesus did. As we see the crucifixion with our mind's eye and the eye of faith, and then ask ourselves some qualifying questions, which will be the body of this sermon, we can grasp the reality of the width, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ for us. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? And please listen, please don't check out. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? How many times, church, have you said, I just need some more faith. I need some more courage. I need some more fill in the blank. No, you don't. You need to possess what God has already given you. He's freely given us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We're not going to weigh in today on the gun control issue. But one thing about the gun control issue that I struggle with is this mantra, and it truly is. Don't tell me you're praying for me. Don't tell me that you're thinking about me. Let's do something that really works. If you find yourself standing in front of God someday, unsaved, you're going to realize how important those prayers were. Church, I don't have a pivotal issue against the person, Mr. Hogg. I don't. It's his name. The student activist after the shooting at Parkland. My heart goes out to him. But I'm telling you right now, if he successfully enacts every legislative thing that he wants to see done, and if we effectively take out every gun in this nation's houses, people are still dying and going to an eternal place of judgment. It will not have helped a thing. I would rather help every one of us to come to an eternal relationship to Christ than get another 100 years on this planet. And so, yes, do we need to pray for safety for our young people every day? And I'm not trying to be mean or hateful, but parents, if you're not already doing that, oh my goodness. Every day we need to beg God to protect our schools. We said it how many weeks ago now? Probably 12 weeks. We need to pray for peace. I want to reenact that. We need to pray for peace for our world, not just our nation. But the ultimate fix is what Jesus did on the cross for yours and my sins. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of Christ. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So to aid us in this effort, have you seen it? To aid us in this effort, we're going to look to John 19:35. Will you stand for the reading in reverence of God's holy word? We're going to actually start at verse 28. This is John's record of Jesus dying on the cross. Verse 28 of John 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That means he gave up his spirit to God. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, so they had a high holy day coming, and they didn't want these three prisoners to spoil that day. For that Sabbath day was a high day. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. Signify, that is a medical proof that Jesus had already passed away. And he saw that it bare record. Here it is. This is our verse today. And he saw. John is speaking in second person. He's talking about himself. He's writing this about himself. And he that saw it bare record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. About Tuesday, I settled in on this verse. Can't even remember now what was going on, probably in preparation for John's funeral. I'll fight a small village for the opportunity to preach a church member's service because it's an honor. But there's a price, if you will. There's a cost. I was hurting. And trying to prepare for this message today, I came across this passage. And this passage was weird to me. Just how he said it. And he that saw it bare record. And my first thought was, wasn't it you? It was. But John felt it necessary to speak in the second person. And he that saw it bare record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. So in other words, he's trying to make such a point that he says it three times, three different ways. I saw it. I recorded it, and it's true. Why is this so important? Because what John saw on that cross changed his life and every person's before and after, Old Testament and New Testament. Every person that looks to the cross in faith, it changes their life for eternity. And John is saying, this is it. This is it. And I'm watching it. And I want everybody that reads my words to believe it. Because you see, we don't have the advantage of John. And we're Missourians. Show us. And John is. He's showing you what Jesus did on the cross. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Folks, one of the most startling things in history is the prophetic truth of the Word of God. How many prophecies, literally hundreds, perhaps thousands of prophecies are true because Jesus lived his life to the letter of those prophecies. You want to talk about apologetics? And again, there are no people on this planet that are ultimately our enemies. We're trying to reach them for the gospel of Christ. And if you have a friend, neighbor, relative that's trying to tell you, well, I'm an atheist, you need to love them enough to tell them, well, I don't have enough faith to be one. Because there's just too much proof of the truth of the gospel. And hopefully and prayerfully that will catapult them into researching it. Because there's something that we call atheists that research Christianity. We call them converts. Because they come to the absolute realization that, oh my goodness, this stuff is real. It can be backed up by historical, certifiable, credible facts. I can take you to books that I can hardly read, meaning that they are so intellectually put together. It's good stuff. Another scripture saith, and they shall look on him whom they pierced. John's eyewitness account as one who has seen and testified and whose testimony is true, and who knows that he is telling the truth. So those are those three things. Again, I'm an eyewitness, one who has seen, testified, whose testimony is true, and knows that he's telling the truth, emphasizes that Jesus was unquestionably dead. John's account is not hearsay, fable, or legend, but rather a sober historical record of actual events. His purpose is relating Jesus' precise fulfillment of prophecy in his death was so that his readers also may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing they may have life in his name. Christ clearly controlled his own death to fulfill scripture. Those are John MacArthur's words. And to bridge, it's all good, folks, watch this. And to bridge to our qualifying questions, which is the body of this sermon, we have to ask the question, why would Christ do such a dangerous, deadly, horrifyingly painful endeavor for sinners? Why would he do that? Well, we've already answered that in Romans 8, haven't we? Who shall separate us from what? The love of God through Christ Jesus. He loves you. And church, listen to me. We've gotten too comfortable with that. I'm supposed to stay here, aren't I? We've gotten too comfortable with that. That's a ho-hum anymore. I'm here to change that. I'm here today to change that. Any more than you should look at your son or daughter or dad or mom or wife and daughter and go, I love you, hon. And it be no big deal. We've got to change that, church. That should rock your world. And if your love for your children and your wife or husband or mom or dad, if that should be real to you, oh my goodness. The God of everything putting on human flesh and dying for your sins, that should rock our world. So here are the qualifying questions. Who loves you? Who is this Jesus? He's the Creator. There's nothing here that Jesus didn't create. He is the absolute sovereign. They keep saying, well, we're finding new universes. They're his too. We keep discovering stuff. God's known about it from eternity past. It's not, you know, God's not looking through time going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. He's going, yep, did it. Brad calls God the star breather. I like that. One fella said it this way. When it was time to create, God stepped out on nothing and took the anvil of his will, actually the hammer, and knocks it against the anvil of his will, and sparks flew, and the stars were there. God spoke this place into existence. That's who loves you. He's perfect. He has never sinned. You and I can't relate to him except through his grace. Through his grace, we can come completely in a wonderful, perfect relationship with him. Do you know why it's perfect? Because every time you and I try to mess it up, he forgives you. It's perfect because he's perfect. Who loves you? Jesus loves you. In church, as you focus in like a laser beam with your mind and heart and soul to what Jesus did on that cross, you won't be able to help but to love him back. What kind of love is it? Husbands, I'm fixing to save you a lot of money on seminars. You want a hot, vibrant relationship? And I know some of you thinking, wait a minute, Brother Ben, I'm on a heart pill. It'll be adjusted. It'll be adjusted, I promise. I got some of you with that, didn't I? You want a hot relationship in your marriage? Pursue her. Amen, church? Amen. Maybe I need to step back. Pursue her. Chase that woman. Yes, around the bed. Chase her. Chase her. Now listen to me. Yeah. Oh, wow. We got it going now. Some of the like, don't you damn. The 92-year-old husband and the 90-year-old wife sitting on the porch, and they see a young couple walk by, and they're hand in hand, arm in arm, snuggling, hugging, kissing. The wife looks at the husband and says, you remember when you used to do that? Yeah. Well, you don't do that anymore. I know. Well, I miss it. Okay. So he gets up. He's 92 years old. And she says, where are you going?
To get my teeth.
Pursue her. Now, listen. You see where I'm going with this? What kind of love is it that Jesus does for you? Church, he pursues you. Amen, church? He pursues you. I can take you to the scripture and show you that he tells you to seek me and you will find me. And then I can take you to the verse that says, none seeketh after God, none are righteous. So what's happening? Jesus is giving you the ability to seek him so that when you find him, you discover he was seeking you all along. He's setting it up. He is pursuing you. He is going out of his way to have a love relationship with you. It's not just pursuing, it's positive. Listen, church, it's positive. I'm a sinner. I'm a savior, he says.
I deserve hell. I'm going to give you heaven, he says. I struggle on a daily basis. I got answers for those struggles. Ben, just come with me. He pursues you. He's positive. He's proactive. I see that coming, and this is the fix. And he protects you if you will allow him. He's sacrificial. He paid the price, church. I'm fixing to say something that half of you don't believe. And I'm not trying to be hateful, truly. There's not a single problem that any of you have that Christ can't overcome. The reason I'm afraid that half of us don't believe it is because we see our problem. Oh, there it is. And it just, with every day, it seems to get bigger. But church, you got to get your eyes off the problem and get them on the Savior. And when you keep, and that's the practice, keep your eyes on the Savior, that problem gets into reality. And the reality is that there's no problem that Christ can't fix. When did he love you? Past, present, future. He loved you in the past. They had their, in first service, I said they probably had a coffee break one day from being awesome. And God the Father said, you know what we're fixing to do? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're fixing to create people. And you know what they're fixing to do. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, I have thought it. I'll take their sin and I'll die on the cross. I'll pay the price, God, Father. I'll pay the price for your righteous judgment against their sin. And the Holy Spirit said, and if you do that, son, I'll go out and I'll brood over the earth and I'll call them in repentance. And God the Father stands up and says, well, if you two will do that, I'll forgive anybody that comes. Break over. I don't believe God drinks coffee, okay? It's just an illustration. When did he love you? Then, now, and to come. Where does he love you? Anywhere, everywhere. I'm going to the courtroom tomorrow, preacher. Jesus will be waiting on you. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, preacher. Jesus is waiting on you. Pick it, folks. Pick it. I'm going to the counselor. My marriage is falling apart. Jesus is waiting on you. He's everywhere here. Why does he love you? This is my favorite. Why does Jesus love you? Well, you are his purpose in creation. It's not the beautiful animals. It's not the beautiful Grand Canyon. It's not the beautiful stuff. It's you. Human beings with a God-shaped vacuum built inside of us for him to possess and to exist and to live. You are his purpose. His likeness. He stamped a picture of himself on every one of us. Church, the reason he can't reject you is because when he looks at you, he sees himself. And he loves what he sees. God doesn't make junk. You guys mean the world to him. His glory. When an angel comes up to God and says, show me your glory. He says, well, hang on. Look at that person right there. That person was headed to hell. Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins. They accepted him. Now they're headed to heaven. You're going to see them someday right here on these golden streets. Get out of town. Yeah. That sinner? Yeah. Wow, God, that's pretty impressive. Now, let's get theological for a minute, all right? His purpose in creation, his likeness, his glory. This is to the answer of why does he love you? His choice. Yes, I believe that Jesus chose you. I happen to believe that Jesus has chosen everyone that he's created, which makes it all the more important that we choose him. You see, the fact that God chose all of us does not, it'll come to me, does not mean that all of us are going to spend eternity in heaven. God doesn't want robots in heaven. He wants people that loves him back. Amen, church? So every man, woman, boy, and girl that says, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I deserve eternal punishment. But you, your son, died on the cross for my sins. You raised from the dead. Please forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Remember, that's not just a sinner's prayer. That is an introduction to the Lord.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. He saw it. Church, have you seen it? Dan Cooley will forever be one of my heroes of the faith because he introduced me to some people that have changed my life forever. He gave me some sermons, and one of them was Sam Cathy. And Sam Cathy became a well-known Southern Baptist preacher because of one event. Sam Cathy was at a preacher meeting, and this medical doctor stood up and started explaining the crucifixion. And all of the grimy, if you will, horrifyingly dirty details of the crucifixion. And Sam stood up and he walked out. He said, I'm not submitting myself to that. Lord, you know I love you, but I'm not going to go through that. It's painful, church. It hurts. We feel guilty, and rightly so. And in that foyer of that church, the Holy Spirit said, you can't go any further with me until you see what I did. Because, son, you got to see it to believe it. And he went and he sat down and he heard that doctor tell how Jesus was stretched and pulled and beaten and just killed. And God broke him. Church, there's some things that we will not accomplish in our Christian life until we allow God to break us over his death for our sins. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm asking you, go get the movie. Sit down with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it. I've got a medical doctor's explanation of the crucifixion in my office. I can get my hand on it if you want to read it this week. Please. Because you see, next week, we need to celebrate. Next week, we need to bring other people to see it. Seek to see it this week. What is it? What he did on the cross for you and why he did it. Will you stand? Musicians, will you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You will know when you have seen it because you will share it. You will know when you have seen it because you will share it. One of the things that I'm embarrassed over too many times is that I can walk up to complete strangers and talk to them about sports, hunting. I can't bring myself to say that I'm ashamed to talk to them about Jesus or church, but I'm obviously not bold enough, or I would do it. And I'm not telling you that I don't. I'm telling you that too many times I'm too eager to talk about the things of the earth that are going to pass away. And I'm not eager enough to talk about a risen Savior. Father, I'm not here to get onto anybody today. I'm here to hold up a mirror, the mirror of your word. And help us, Father, if we don't like what we see, help us to repent today. If we like what we see, I pray that you'd give us grace to continue in your strength. Thank you for Zach submitting to baptism today. Thank you for his salvation last week. Thank you for his journey for the last several years coming to you. I pray that you'd use him, Father, for your kingdom work here in this church. God, I pray that you'd help all of us to see what you did on the cross for us. Help us to understand the who, the where, the when, the why, that you love us. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's sing. If you do not know Christ, we're inviting you to come. This is an invitation. We're inviting you to come.